Hey, this is James from SorrelPunk.com.
And by his side, along for the ride, is Couch Potato Mike. How the hell are you doing this week, sir?
Wonderful. Now that the snow is mostly gone, even though it came back again, and it was gone again by, like, noon.
Yeah, we had a good little snowfall, apparently, overnight. I got out.
Snow dusting.
Yeah, I was...
Closed the schools.
Yeah, I was not expecting to come out and have to scrape my windshield this morning.
No.
Couldn't find my damn scraper. I don't know what happened to it. I had to scrape it with, like, some used gift cards.
Terrible.
Yeah, I know. My hand was freezing because I also cannot find my right glove.
Terrible. Terrible.
It's funny. I had the right glove and couldn't find the left one. Then I finally found the left one and lost the right one. It's like they're hiding from each other.
Why don't you just turn around backwards and alternate
it? It doesn't work good that way. I've tried.
If your fingers are flexible.
Yeah, my thumb's not that flexible anymore.
All right, what do we have coming up today?
Well, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about how the FCC is
Won't let you be?
Yeah, the FCC won't let me be or let me be me, so let me see.
Yes.
You know, they tried to shut me down on MTV?
You've never been on MTV.
Yeah, and it feels so empty without me. But anyway, the FCC approves net neutrality. Washington, D.C. mayor is possibly facing jail time. We're going to tell you about how you might be a survivalist. We're going to be rating the eTrailer.com snow chains. And we're going to be talking about, coming up on Nutrition Punk, the annual CrossFit Games.
Yep, the Open has kicked as of a few minutes ago. I'm excited.
But before we get into all that, it is time to tell you good listeners out there about the good people that are sponsoring this lovely show that you choose to listen to on a weekly basis. Starting with our oldest sponsor still in there with us, JMBullion.com.
JMBullion.com, the best place online to get your gold and silver needs. Free shipping for everything over $100, and they have a $100 minimum, so you have to make that minimum to make your order.
Precious metals, though, that's, like, so easy.
Especially online. I mean, otherwise, if you order it elsewhere, your shipping's going to eat up the savings you're going to get, so it doesn't...
Yeah, so why would you order it elsewhere?
Exactly. If you're going to order less than $100, just save your money until you can order $100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great monetary hedge. Like I like to say, in, like, 1964, when quarters were made of, like, you know, 90% silver, you could buy a gallon of gas for about a quarter. If you took a 1964 quarter and traded it for its, you know, current dollar value...
In silver, yeah.
You'd get about a gallon of gas. Actually, right now, I think you would get more than a gallon of gas.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, it's good to have for that reason, you know, it's not going to be eat up by inflation like your dollar will. So, jmbullion.com, check the banner, right-hand margin, survivalpunk.com.
Yeah, also in that banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com is campingsurvival.com.
What can you get there?
I almost said fish antibiotics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Oh, yeah. I get our sponsors mixed
yes.
up sometimes.
For all your bug out and bug in needs, campingsurvival.com for fish antibiotics, the Life Straw. Great deals all the time from campingsurvival.com.
The Life Straw is really great if you're ever get a hankering for cow poo water.
It filters everything, yeah.
Filters everything. And while you're over there, and I'm hoping you're still on that banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, because there, in that banner,
Thar,
you can get a great cup of coffee from the good people over at Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. The place that I get my coffee.
Lots of coffee at a time.
Make a big order all at once. Mai Tai Coffee. They donate a portion of the proceeds to a charity over there that helps orphans with their schooling, medical, education, and housing. Awesome for that. They pay their workers in their coffee tree fields a fair labor so they can support their families. And it's just good coffee. I highly recommend the Mexicali. Your wife has been enjoying the French vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And I actually emailed Matt over there today with a suggestion I had for the R&D department. So Starbucks is testing a new dark barrel latte in a couple markets.
Uh-huh.
Which is a Starbucks coffee, topped with like whipped cream and a caramel drizzle that apparently tastes just like Guinness. But it's a coffee.
Interesting.
And I'm like, Matt, if you guys can make this, you will blow out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. If they can make a Mai Tai double stout, I'm going to wear them out.
Oh, I know damn well you will.
Yeah, so Mai Tai coffee. Yeah, what? Go ahead.
Because, yeah, back when you were a drinking man, Guinness, oh, God. Guinness didn't last long around you.
No.
No, not at all.
Coffee with a little bit, like... actually, I like to find the stoutest, like, strongest, most bitter coffee I can find, which usually ends up being, you know, dark roast or an espresso roast. But yeah, I like bitter, which is an underappreciated flavor sort of in our current time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're the kind of person that likes to get out of bed and start your day off with a great cup of coffee... Can't recommend a better one than the good people at Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. Find them in that banner on the right-hand side of survivalpunk.com, where you will also find wellfoodco.com.
What do they have there?
They have the Carne Bar. They are the creators of the Paleo MRE.
Which is downright tasty. Paleo MRE, the Carne Bar, Paleo Chocolate, grass-fed beef protein shakes, Good stuff. John Wellborn, his wife, a little bit of help from Rob Wolf on developing some of the stuff there. All high quality, all organic, great food. Check out wellfoodcode.com. Banner in the right-hand margin.
Of survivalpunk.com. And now let's just jump right into our first news story here. The FCC approves net neutrality, which from my understanding can kind of be a little misleading.
I am not super... Okay, so I saw this popping up all over Facebook, and I'm like, people are like, here comes the death of the internet. A friend of mine, who I won't name, I doubt he listens to this podcast anyway, put up an article and a picture to go with that article of, you know, victory. It passes. And this guy's... He's a freaking Democrat, liberal idiot, and... I mean, for God's sake, the man has a poop named after him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I'm just like, some of the stuff he says, I just want to slap him.
You know what I love about you?
What?
You talk about Democrats like frickin' liberal idiots. You talk about Republicans, frickin' conservative idiots.
Pretty much. Yeah, they're both. So, this comes from, and I dug around for this article to find it on a website that I like. So I don't mind Politico so much.
Politico.com.
Politico.com. The FCC approved net neutrality rules. The Federal Communications Commission voted along party lines today, to approve sweeping changes to how it regulates the internet.
Right now, I can feel my blood boiling.
Capping more than a year of nosy debate that sparked millions of public comments and drew the attention of President Barack Obama. And impersonating Barack Obama made me choke myself up. And congressional leaders. The agency's three Democrats voted to approve Chairman Tom Wheeler's net neutrality order, which would treat broadband like a utility to ensure all web traffic is treated equally. The commission's two GOP members, Republican lawmakers, and nation's telecom giants opposed the rules, saying they will dampen innovation, no shit, and investment. AT&T has already threatened legal challenge.
The internet is the most powerful and pervasive platform on the planet. It's simply too important to be left without rules and without referee on the field, Wheeler said at Thursday's FCC meeting where he was currently eating a bowl of dicks. Yes. Today is a red letter day for internet freedom, for consumers who want to use the internet on their terms, for innovators who want to reach consumers without the control of gatekeepers. In a separate decision Thursday, the FCC's Democratic majority voted to override state laws that prevent community-run broadband networks in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Wilson, North Carolina, from expanding their geographic reach. The move will help such locally managed networks compete with incumbent cable and telecom companies. Net neutrality, however, has been the most contentious policy issue. Wheeler's plan will prevent ISPs from blocking or degrading legal internet traffic and bar them from cutting deals to charge companies for so-called internet fast lanes. It applies net neutrality protection to both land-based and wireless internet, as well as to interconnection points between networks deep inside the web.
The FCC chairman didn't initially intend to write net neutrality rules, but a decision by D.C. Court Circuit of Appeals in January 2014 tossing key elements of the agency's previous open internet order threw the issue in his lap. His initial replacement proposal, which would have allowed pay-for-play internet fast lanes as long as they were deemed commercially reasonable, sparked an immediate backlash. Outraged liberals launched a protest campaign and generated millions of comments to the agency in support of tighter regulations. You dumb motherfuckers. A segment by comedian HBO host John Oliver lampooning Wheeler's plan added to the outrage. Motherfuckers just want more restriction and more regulation. After sustained pressure from progressives and a public push from President Ass Clown in November, Wheeler gravitated towards a tougher approach that subjects ISPs to regulations originally written for phone companies in the 1930s.
Oh, good God.
It's based on Title II of the Communications Act. How much more of this article is there? Because I'm going to bust a brain tumor.
You got to scroll.
Blah. Nope. Shitballs. The shift incensed Republicans, who see the rules as drastic overregulation and a federal government power grab. No shit. Ajit Pai, the FCC's senior GOP commissioner, has said the plan could ultimately give the agency the authority to set rates for internet service, a charge Wheeler and FCC officials have denied. The commission's decision to adopt President Barack Obama's plan makes a monumental shift towards government control of the internet. Pai said at the agency meeting Thursday, it gives the FCC the power to micromanage virtually every aspect of how the internet works. It's an overreach that will let Washington bureaucracy and not the American people decide the future of the online world.
GOP lawmakers have been turning up the heat on Wheeler on net neutrality. They've launched investigations into what they see as inappropriate White House influence over the FCC's decision, making and offered an alternative legislative proposal that would institute weaker net neutrality rules and tie the FCC's hands on future regulations of broadband. Republicans have also criticized Wheeler on transparency grounds for not releasing the plan ahead of the FCC vote. An FCC official said that the agency's standard practice is not to make proposals public before a vote, adding they're normally made available within days or weeks depending on the complexity of the topic. Overzealous government bureaucrats should keep their hands off the internet, House Speaker John Boehner said.
Boehner.
What?
John Boehner.
Whatever. House Speaker John Boehner said in his statement, "More mandates and regulations on American innovation and entrepreneurship are not the answer, and that's why Republicans will continue our efforts to stop this misguided scheme."
What happened? It's not scrolling.
The telecom industry is expected to mount a legal challenge to the net neutrality order, and AT&T's indicated the big carriers will likely ask a court to block the plan. On Thursday, the company warned the FCC's vote may not last.
Instead of a clear set of rules moving forward with a broad set of agreement behind them, we once again face the uncertainty of litigation and the very real potential of having to start over again in the future, said Jim Cissoni, AT&T's top lobbyist. Partisan decisions take on 3-2 votes and can be undone on a similar partisan 3-2 votes only 2 years hence. The FCC's decision to intervene on behalf of the community broadband may open a new phase in the broader debate over competition in the internet service market. Some ISPs have lobbied for state restrictions on municipal networks, and Obama has called on the FCC to come to the aid of towns and cities that want to build out their own locally run internet services. Republicans in Congress, meanwhile, have warned the FCC against what they call unconstitutional meddling in state affairs. Yes. The government is once again sticking its dick where it doesn't belong.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Way to rape fucking freedom.
Yeah, I love, and I almost wanted to stop you when you're reading that they're blocking a Chattanooga, Tennessee company from expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You're screwing over a business in an economy that needs a business to expand.
Yeah, well, you know.
I can only assume that Chattanooga company and the other company have not paid off the right people. Because that's what it is.
Oh, God, yeah. It's all about which palms you grease in this fucking country.
Yeah.
That's all it is who you're bribing. Whose balls you're looking at the time to get whatever the hell you want passed.
Nothing in that I read struck me as a victory.
There's no victory there.
It's more government control in something that doesn't need to be controlled.
The internet is the last bastion of fucking freedom out there, for God's sake.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, here in America, there's not restrictions. Not like China that blocks entire segments of the website. Like, I'm pretty damn sure you can't go to survivalpunk.com from China.
No, you can. I mean, hell, you can't even log on to it from, like, TBI's offices.
Oh, yeah, it's flagged as sexually inappropriate or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're probably also banned in Germany, who have very strict regulations on internet.
Probably can't eat a bowl of dicks in Germany.
No, you can't. You can't eat a bowl of dicks. You can't watch people eating a bowl of dicks in Germany.
No, that's probably a good thing, though.
No, a friend of mine who was stationed in Germany for a while, the only way he could see what he wanted, including, like, American television and other things, pornography, vis-a-vis all that bullshit, he had to fucking log on through a proxy server that said he was in another fucking country in order to do it. And if he had been caught doing it, he could have faced, like, major fucking fines and possibly jail time.
Yeah.
And that's what this country is fucking heading toward.
I mean, when they're trying to crack down and restrict the internet, I can only see a subculture of internet service providers popping up. There's sort of a back alley internet now that you can only access with browsers such as Tor. That's how you would get onto the Silk Road when the Silk Road was not shut down.
Is that the dark web?
I think so. A part of it, yeah. So Silk Road was sort of the black market eBay.
Huh.
I set up all this stuff one time with Bitcoins and the Tor browser and the proxy servers and found the hidden web address to get to the Silk Road. You know, and like I said, it was just like eBay, but the homepage had stuff like heroin on it. For sale.
That's fucking insane.
Yes, click, buy, ship to your house, and I didn't buy anything. So, I didn't buy any heroin, guys.
No, you're
or
just,
dead hookers, I swear to God.
You don't buy dead hookers, you buy live ones and kill them yourself. That's where all the fucking fun is.
Yeah, not if you... yeah, so I didn't buy anything, I just looked, and I can see more of that stuff popping up. Like, people just aren't gonna take this bullshit.
No, they're not. I mean... I'm calling the Survival Punk Army out to take a fucking stand against this shit.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the government's gonna fuck over the real internet. We'll just make a damn new internet and not let them on it.
Yeah, until they find a way to regulate that one.
Yeah. It'll be illegal anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, today is a dark day. The government has their fingers in the internet.
And just think about this. Remember what happened when they tried to illegalize alcohol? everybody all of a sudden had access to alcohol.
It reminds me of one of the Star Wars when they're like, "This is how the Republic dies," not with a shout and a gun blast, but with a vote.
Pretty much.
This is how the internet dies.
Pretty fucking much.
Yeah.
Makes me sad. And I know you guys out there feel the same way I do.
Yeah. What's our next news story?
You sound so down.
The internet is... Yeah.
Okay, well, we're sticking into Washington and illegal shit because the Washington, D.C. mayor is possibly going to be facing jail time, but why?
For our apparently new, weekly weed minute, I guess.
Yeah, we need to make this its own category.
Yeah. The weekly weed minute. This comes from USA Today. So we know it's a legit news story. Take over the first one.
Absolutely. Remember, take your shot of Absolute Vodka. Despite warnings from congressional Republicans, Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser allowed D.C.'s marijuana legalization law to take effect at 12:01 a.m. Thursday. Woot woot. Republican Jason Chaffetz, Republican Utah, who chairs the House Oversight Committee, told Bowser that if she continued with her plan to implement marijuana legalization, she would face very serious consequences, the Washington Post reported. "You can go to prison for this," the Post quoted Chaffetz as saying. We're not playing a little game here, eh?
Oh my God.
Bowser was undeterred by the threat of prison time. "We are acting lawfully," she told reporters. "I have a lot of things to do. Being in jail wouldn't be a good thing."
Oh my God. Representative Andy Harris, Democrat, Maryland, who has been one of the most vocal opponents of marijuana legalization in D.C., says implementation of the law would be a violation of the Anti-Deficiency Act. What? The Anti-Deficiency Act. Okay. Just reminds me of that Harrison Bergeron story from Kurt Vonnegut. Which prohibits the spending of federal funds that have not been appropriated. My brain is broken now.
Yeah.
The Anti-Deficiency Act doesn't say everybody except the mayor, Harris said, according to The Hill. The Anti-Deficiency Act is clear as mud. It has 2 years jail time and a loss of a job as well as penalties.
Wait, as well? Those aren't penalties?
I'm confused by all of this. Nearly two-thirds of D.C. voters approved Initiative 71 in November. Well, no shit they did!
Yeah.
Under Initiative 71, people ages 21 or older will be allowed to possess 2 ounces or less of marijuana, use marijuana on private property, and give 1 ounce or less to another person as long as no money, goods, or services are exchanged. How do they buy it?
Anti-Deficiency Act?
Residents will be permitted to cultivate up to 6 marijuana plants, although no more than 3 mature plants in their primary home.
Okay, once again, no sense is being made here. Congress has final say over the laws in the District of Columbia, and two sides disagree about whether Congress acted quickly enough to block an initiative legalizing pot. Congress passed legislation in December that aimed to block... Where the hell did it go?
Here it goes, right here.
You lost me. To block Initiative 71 by banning the use of appropriated funds to enact any law, rule, or regulation to legalize marijuana. District officials argue that the law was enacted when voters approved the initiative in November and that it merely takes effect Thursday. Chaffetz disagrees with that interpretation and says that the mayor and other district employees who move forward with the legalization could face criminal fucking penalties.
I have several things on this.
Yeah, okay, first off, facing criminal penalties for passing a law makes zero fucking sense.
Right. And I'm confused because they said it took effect already, but then they're saying they'll be in trouble if they go forward with it. And it's not legalizing marijuana, it's decriminalizing it.
Yeah. There's a difference.
There is a difference, yes. Why is they using appropriated funds? They just have to stop arresting people.
Yeah, that is
That's
not...
saving money. That's a surplus.
Fuck yes, it's a fucking surplus. Okay, this article made so little sense that it's actually making negative sense now.
Yes, I feel brain cells coming out of my nose.
Maybe you have to be high to understand it.
Yeah. If only we were in Washington, D.C. right now, we could light up and understand what the hell we're either illegally or possibly legally doing.
Oh, God.
Because I don't know.
My fucking head hurts.
Yeah.
It just fucking hurts.
So, yeah. We don't know what we just read to you. If you do know, email me.
You can cultivate 6 plants, but you can only have 3 mature plants. Which means
you've got to kill one.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Every time one matures, you've got to kill the mature one.
Oh my God. Well, trust me, by the time it's mature,
I guess you just smoke it.
Yeah, people are cutting it up and drying it and smoking it. I mean,
you smoke the marijuana.
Of course, and then again, this always goes back to the same fucking thought in my head every fucking time. Why marijuana is illegal in the first place, I have no fucking idea. It is a plant that grows naturally, that has an inebriating effect, that you get over a hell of a lot quicker than you do from drinking. It's a hell of a lot less harmful than drinking or even smoking fucking cigarettes, which are both perfectly fucking legal to anybody 18 or 21 years of fucking age.
I mean, I don't see... I mean, I personally have seen some negative effects from people that do use marijuana. I mean, there's a lot of people that are like 60 years old that still live, you know, at home smoking the weed because they don't have ambitions. I don't know if they don't have ambitions anyway and they just smoke weed because they don't have ambitions, or if they smoke so much weed that they just want to play video games and sit at home. I mean, on the counterpart, I've seen, you know, some professional people, you know, leisurely smoke some weed and not really have a big effect. The same goes with everything, I guess.
I mean, like Snoop Dogg?
Or you could be like Kevin Smith and get high and make the worst movie ever made.
That was not the worst movie ever made.
Jeff Radke Tusk was horrible.
It was the worst movie. It was not the worst movie ever made. I mean, it wasn't his best
film. What's worst?
What?
Name a worse movie.
Than that?
Name a worse movie than that.
The Cube?
I liked it.
The Cube sucked.
No, it didn't.
Oh, God, yes, it did.
I was going to say the ending made sense, but the ending made more sense than Tusk.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, according to the rules of that universe, then it should have worked. You cannot wear a dead walrus skin stitched to your skin a year after it is stitched to your skin and not have it rot away.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Or the organ failure.
By that point, he should
tissue
have, like,
rejection.
Had gangrene and all sorts of shit. I mean, doctors realistically would have tried to remove it. I mean, he wouldn't have... Yeah, spoilers out there. I mean, he wouldn't have been
Don't watch it, for love of God.
An exotic animal preserve Whatever. In Canada. Yeah, I mean, it
so,
wasn't...
So weed may or may not be legal in D.C. We really don't know.
I still liked it better than Cop Out, though.
Really don't know. So
in other
topic?
Words, just fucking move to Colorado. You know it's legal there.
Yeah.
And now it is time to move on to our main topic for this evening. You might be a survivalist.
Yeah, I found a list on the Survival Mom. This is kind of collected from all around the web. I've seen these all over. So this is our 50th episode. Hooray for us.
Yes, it is our 50th episode.
50 episodes of this crap. Yeah. And people listen to this. Ridiculous.
Hey, it's not ridiculous. And I love all of our listeners.
Yes.
All of our listeners that have stuck through us, especially after the fucking episode number 1.
Yeah.
Episode number one was so horrible.
So we're just going to read a list, and this should be funny.
120 ways to know for sure if you are, if, that you might be a survivalist.
You might be a survivalist.
Or prepper, it says in parentheses.
You have a cookbook all about Spam.
You consider your extra-large ham radio antenna a broadband.
You know how to cook leather.
You've ever been on a Soviet potential threat list.
Oh, yeah. SWAT has ever asked to borrow a few of your guns.
Your girlfriend comes over for the first time, and when she walks into the living room, the first thing she sees is your CHL regulation man-sized target with 50 holes in the chest area.
Your dog has more emergency rations than 95% of the U.S. population.
You're the first person at the gun range on December 26th to try out your new toys, and the clerk knows you by your first name.
Your local supermarket manager knows to go ahead and open up a few dock doors when he sees you on the shopping trip.
Your home and property are more secure and better lit than Fort Knox or Area 51.
All the local restaurants know to save you all their 5-gallon buckets on Mondays and Thursdays.
None of your vehicles have electronic ignition or pollution control.
You know the tail numbers of all the helicopters in your area.
The magazine on your coffee table includes American Survival Guide, Guns and Ammo, Soldiers of Fortune, American Rifleman, Shotgun News, and Four-Wheeler.
Four-Wheeler. You welcome a mild El Nino storm because you know it's going to fill your cistern.
The power fails in your local movie theater, and you pull your flashlight from your belt and show yourself the way out.
You use your Gerber tool to cut your steak at a fine dining establishment.
Your knife collection has its own footlocker.
Oh my god. When people ask you about those colorful maps on your walls, you tell them that you are planning a fishing expedition.
You can recognize the sound of a generator from 4 blocks away, but you can also tell the brand, horsepower, and kilowatts per hour that it's putting out.
You have to kill a snake in your front yard, but then you get it and eat it.
You stock up on kerosene and firewood in 102 degree summer heat.
That's the best time to buy kerosene. You homeschool your children Your homeschool children score 99th percentile on their SATs.
Your to-do list includes changing the batteries on the seismic ground sensor surrounding your home.
Your shopping list includes numbers like 22, 308, 357, and 7.62.
Your shopping list includes body armor.
It does. Your scanner includes frequencies of every law enforcement agency within a 100-mile radius, including the ones that don't officially exist.
Those maps on your wall will have every bridge marked in red with an alternate path marked around it.
Your paperboy throws the paper into a barbed wire just for the heck of it.
You have a key fob that says, "What would John Wayne do?"
Oh my god. Your fence post doubles as range markers.
The window shutters have firing ports included in their design.
You have ammo on your Christmas list.
You had ammo on your... That's what I got you for Christmas.
Yeah.
You're on a first-name basis with every vendor at a gun show.
You can't put your groceries in the trunk of the car because it's already jammed full of emergency kits, first aid supplies, and a fully stocked bug-out bag.
You have emergency rations for your pets and view your pets as potential emergency rations.
No. You know the news 3 days before it even hits the mass media.
You have backup plans for your backup plans.
You're convinced you've been exposed to so many chemtrails, you consider it a form of birth control.
You've ever bought antibiotics for human use through a vet or grains for human consumption through a feed store.
You've got more than one grain mill.
You've ever wondered how you might filter the used water from your washing machine to make it fit for human consumption.
You have a kerosene lamp in every room.
Your living room coffee table is actually a board with pretty cloth over it to disguise your food storage underneath.
Shoot fire. Your box springs are Rubbermaid containers filled with rice and beans.
You save dryer lint to make fire starters.
Oh, excuse me. Ugh. Your most commonly used fuel additive is Stable instead of Gum Out.
You automatically choose the heavy-duty flatbed cart upon entering Sam's or Costco.
You know the shelf life of tuna fish, but don't know how long you've had that open jar of mayo in the fridge.
Your basement walls are insulated with crates of toilet paper from floor to ceiling all the way around.
Other people are saving money for their new furniture vacations, but you are desperately saving to get solar panels put up on your house.
You were excited beyond all reason when they came out with the cheddar cheese in a can.
Ooh, pinch me. You've ever served MREs at a dinner party.
You can engage in spirited debate on chemicals versus sawdust toilets for hours on end.
I prefer sawdust. You've ever considered digging an escape tunnel from your basement to the nearest stand of trees.
You know how to use a vacuum cleaner in reverse to filter air in your designated biochem attack safe room.
You've ever considered buying an above-ground pool for water storage purposes.
You know things like... You know what things like T-S-H-T-F, B-O-B, G-O-O-D, and T-O-T-E... Yeah, whatever. Mean, and routinely use them in conversations.
That would be the shit hits the fan, bug out bag, good is get out of Dodge, and the end of the world as we know it. Just because I know you didn't know. You have different grades of Bobs and restock them twice a year.
You know the names, family histories, locations, and degrees of readiness of over 1,000 fellow doomers on the internet, but you've never met your neighbors.
The best radio in the house is a wind-up.
You have better items in storage than you use every day.
If the shit hits the fan, you would eat better than you do now.
Your significant other gave you a sleeping bag rated at negative 15 degrees for Christmas, and you were moved beyond words.
Oh, sweetie. You've sewn secret mini-bobs in the bottom of your children's school backpacks.
Local food pantries have come to depend on donations from your larder when you rotate stock in the spring and fall.
Oh. Excuse me. You're still using up your Y2K supplies.
You have enough Army surplus equipment to open a store.
The local Army surplus store owner knows you by your first name. Kinda, yeah.
When you fill up when your gas tank is already three quarters full.
Yeah. You call Rubbermaid for wholesale prices.
You've had several cases of quit doing that. It makes me lose my place every damn time. You have several cases of baby wipes and your kids are all grown.
I need to buy more. You carry a pocket survival kit, a sturdy folding knife, a surefire flashlight, and a small concealed handgun to church every Sunday.
You start panicking when you're down to 50 rolls of toilet paper.
You keep a small notebook to write down any edible plants you happen to see along the road.
You shop yard sales, store sales, and markdown racks for bartering goods.
You own a hand-operated clothes washer and a non-electric carpet sweeper.
You have at least two of every size of Dutch ovens, the ones with the legs on the bottom, and 20 bags of charcoal, although you have a gas grill.
You have a... Where am I at?
See, you screwed yourself up.
You have rain barrels at each corners of your house, although you have a sooty water hookup and a big Berkey to purify the water.
You have sapphire lights, survival whistle, and a Swiss Army knife on every family member's keychain.
The people in line at Costco ask if you run a store or department or restaurant.
You require a shovel to rotate all your preps properly.
You no longer go to the doctors because you can either fix it yourself, make it at home, or know and understand the physician's desk reference better than he does, and can get the goods at the vet's or pet store for much less money anyway.
You know the GPS has nothing to do with the economy.
Oh my God. You track your preps on a computer spreadsheet for easy reordering, but have hard copies and a three-ring binder just in case.
You've thought about where the hordes can be stopped before entering town.
You start evaluating people according to their skill sets.
You view the nearest conservation area as a potential grocery store if the shit hits the fan.
You know all the ways out of the building where you work.
You haven't...
Well, yeah, you have enough pasta stockpiled in your basement to carbo load all the runners into the New York Marathon.
You know you have 36 gallons of extra drinking water in the hot water tank and your two toilet tanks. The top part, not the bottom part.
Yeah, the tank, not the bowl. You know which bugs are edible.
Yeah, I do. You have a hand pump on your well.
You have number 10 cans of stuff that labels fell off of, but you won't throw it out or open it because maybe needed later, even though you haven't a clue as to the contents.
You know the best defensive positions and lines of fire on your property.
You made a range card for your neighbor.
Your toenail clipper is a K-bar.
Your ranger handbook is your favorite self-help book.
You've numbered the deer romping in the yard for their order of consumption.
You must move 50 cases of food to the food for the plumber to get at the leaky pipe, and you have your own hand truck in the basement to do it. 100.
Yeah. You own more pairs of hiking boots than casual dress shoes combined.
You have more 55-gallon blue water drums than family members.
You have a backup generator for your backup generator, which is a backup for your solar system.
You go to McDonald's to ask for one order of fries with 25 packets of ketchup and mustard.
You've ever given Spam as a serious gift.
You've had your eyes out for a good deal on a stainless steel handgun to conceal in the bottom of the magazine rack next to the toilet.
You are a single male over 40, but you have an emergency childbirth kit just in case you have to deal with that possibility.
You have two water heaters installed in your basement, but one is a dummy that's been converted to a hideaway safe.
Nice. You've made bug-out cargo packs for your dogs.
You have a walking stick with all sorts of gadgets hidden inside.
You're a substitute scoutmaster and taught your son's troop and set man traps and punji pits and haven't even been asked to stand since.
You're on your fifth vacuum sealer, but you keep at least one of the worn out ones because you could still seal up plastic bags with it.
You haven't bought dried fruit in years, but you buy fresh bananas, apples, peaches, and pears by the case and have three dehydrators.
Your UPS man hates you because all the cases of ammo he's had to lug in from his truck in front of your door.
Poor bastard. You have duplicates of your electronic gear, solar panels, and generator parts in your EMP-shielded fallout shelter.
You have set aside space for your live chickens in the fallout shelter.
When the power goes out in your neighborhood, all your neighbor's kids come over to your place to watch TV on the generator power.
You must open the door to the pantry very carefully for fear of canned good avalanche.
You have a volcano. You know you can cook anything. And you cast evil glances at your neighbor's annoying, yappy poodle muttering, "Your day will come, hot dog."
You've learned to make twine from plant fibers to be used for snares because you fear that all of your preps and hard work will be confiscated by FEMA troops or destroyed by earthquakes, tsunamis, nuclear blasts, ravening hordes of feral sheeple, or reptiloids from Planet X.
The police chief calls you to find out what guns to buy for their officers.
That's it.
Thanks to Bob Mayer for today's Chival Show for putting this together. And giving her permission to do it. Thanks again. No one listens to us anyway.
She's been a guest on the show. I think that's allowed.
That's permission by proxy?
Yeah, that's proxy permission.
Yeah.
You guys know about proxy permission.
I'm so tired.
Do you need your blankie and a teddy bear?
I just hit the 24-hour mark.
Wait, haven't you taken a nap?
Not really.
Good God, man. Why didn't you nap before you came over here?
Because then I'd fall asleep and not be over here.
But you're supposed to fall asleep when you nap.
Right. But I uncontrolled nap.
Oy, Gavalt.
Yeah. Yesterday I slept for like 13 hours. Wait. I laid down at 10 and woke up at 9.
Okay, so 11 hours.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
I was supposed to leave the house at 8:55.
Fucking oops.
Fucking oops.
Alrighty, and let's see, now it's time for Gadget Punk.
Gadget Punk.
Where you're going to be reviewing eTrailer.com's Snow Chains.
Yep, sort of a first initial thoughts. I ordered Snow Chains for my Kia Rio 5 off of eTrailer.com because they have Kia Rio Snow Chains in all sort of passenger vehicles, which is good because that's what I have. And you have a... You can't just, like, buy off-the-shelf ones. I wanted one made for, like, the low-clearance Wilwell that I have.
Uh-huh.
So, I pulled up all the snow chains for my size tires on the Kia Rio 5. And I sent it to Jeff Radke and Grizz, my admin for my page, who are both, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin. So they know a thing or two about snow chains and driving in the winter.
They know about driving up in the winter. Those guys up there, they know about those snow chains and how to drive around in ice and snow.
So, I was like, hey, here's a list of all these snow chains I'm looking at. What do you think? You know, I obviously was like, I'm not buying the $500 snow chains in Tennessee. Sorry, guys.
No. Jeff Radke what he thought about it. He's like, Fargo is the best movie ever made, you know.
He actually sent me back, actually both of them sent me back links to the ZipGo thing we talked about last week anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeff sent me back those, I'll show you the video. There's these,
don't send you links.
TrackGo things where like, there's a video of a truck pulling up in these things and your tire goes and it sits in it and it spins. And it's like it's sitting on top of like snowplow, like or snowmobile tires. Your wheel turns and turns the snowmobile thing and pulls you along.
You mean like tank treads?
Kind of, yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so it's obviously I'm not gonna buy those. They're super hard to get.
No, you don't need them. I mean, hell, you might use your snow chains like
once. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm glad to have them.
Like a couple days down here.
Yeah.
Each year, maybe.
Yeah. I thought was interesting. Was they both independently sent back the exact same chain recommendation. Hence, that's what I ordered. And then I ordered the tensioner from them. And, you know, I was like, we'll probably be fine. I ordered the cheapest, like, ground shipping just because I was like, whatever, I'll be fine when they get here. The great guys over eTrailer, I guess, saw that we're in, like, you know, a class 2 state of emergency, upgraded my shipping to, like, 3-day... For free.
Which was awesome.
And fast-tracked them here, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it sent me like a follow-up email, you know, just making sure I got them and everything was fine. And
you see, now that's customer service.
It is customer service.
That you can't hardly find anywhere. I mean,
no.
Without a request, they upgraded your shipping to get them here quicker and then checked and made sure you got it.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
No. And the price difference was pretty significant, you know, because it's a box of metal chains.
Yeah,
it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, those would cost a pretty penny to ship.
The chains themselves look like pretty great quality. I'm impressed. The only sort of downside is nitpicky. The case that it comes in was like really really cheap plastic, and it broke to one actually like snaps shut.
Oh really?
What do you fucking do? You know that you can still pick it up and carry it and stuff, but it doesn't like the latches on the plastic storage case were just really thin and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you know what we do up here in Wisconsin? We just string together all the little plastic things, you know, that we get off the 6-packs of beer, and we just wrap it in those. That way it stays shut, you know.
I thought those are used to kill ducks.
Well, we kill ducks too with them, you know.
just throw them in the wetland so they strangle.
Oh, absolutely. You save on ammo that way, you know.
Yeah, so big shout out to eTrailers for great customer service. If you need to order snow chains, I'm saying go to eTrailers.
Now, have
they'll
you
take
had,
care of you.
Did you have a chance to use the snow chains?
Not yet. There's no snow to be had.
Well, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway, guys. I mean,
they
turned their back on their own bottom line just to make sure that you got something that you possibly desperately needed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fucking awesome.
Had my driveway still been snowy, I was going to slap them on and drive up it.
Yeah, so definitely check out eTrailer.com. I mean, that is pretty... like I said, that's just customer service you don't find very often.
Right. No, you don't at all. I was pleasantly surprised. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, you guys are getting a shout-out.
Oh, hell yeah. Look, if you don't get it, well, I mean, hell, they're kind of becoming like an... Yeah, they're, you know, they got their own commercial on the show this time. Yeah,
I'm gonna get a full review up when I have a chance to really sort of test it or at least evaluate the quality.
Now, how much do those chains weigh?
Oh, my God. Maybe both of them together, maybe 7 pounds or so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's pretty hefty.
That is pretty hefty.
Yeah.
But I bet the people that are competing in the CrossFit Games, they'd have no problem with that.
No. Dude, I was so excited. The CrossFit Games, the
brings us into our nutrition punk segment this week.
Yeah.
All about the CrossFit Games. So,
I got to watch 15.1 today. I'm going to rewatch it again.
What's 15.1?
It's the name of the workout. So, it's the year, 2015.
Yeah.
The first workout, 2015. 15.1. Last year, I competed in 14.1 and 2 and 3 and...
And one and two and three and four.
Yeah, something.
Pants and boots.
There's one of them that's like had a move that I absolutely could not do. I can't do muscle ups. I think I've maybe told you what a muscle up is, and it's so far beyond my.
I don't remember. Please explain to those of us who don't know what a muscle up is.
You use gymnastic rings above your head.
Oh, yeah, I know what those are.
And you end the move with them below your waist.
Oh, good God.
You fling yourself up until like you're in a ring dip position, and then you push yourself up straight, lock out your elbows.
Oh, I can do that easy.
Oh, sure.
But you can. I can, and you know, if I got like 10...
rip the rings off the fucking roof.
I was going to say if I got like 10 guys lifting me around and shit.
So they announced 15.1 today. Rich Froning competed against Matt Chan in 15.1, which is pretty significant because Rich Froning is... basically retired from individual competition.
What is he, like 88?
No, he's probably not even 40, dude.
Oh, and he's already retiring?
He's already retired, yeah. I mean, my God. Technically, this would be his second career he's retired from, I think, because he was a firefighter in Cookeville, Tennessee.
Oh, really? That's pretty awesome.
And then he opened his gym and became the fittest man in the world 4 times running.
Is he trying to set a fucking world record from retiring from badass careers or something?
I know. So... He's going to go into the team competitions of CrossFit so that he can...
He's competing against teenagers?
No, teams.
Oh, teams.
He's going to make a team.
Oh, okay.
And try to win the team competition because it's a little less training. You know, you don't have to be trained as hard. So he has more time because he's starting a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great. He's starting a family.
Yeah. So. Family of, like, super monsters.
Super monsters?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean...
He's got the only 6-year-old, you know, that can lift up a refrigerator.
Yeah. Well... I mean, he won 15.1 against Matt Chan with a 342-pound snatch.
I saw that 342-pound snatch.
It ridiculous, man.
I've seen two, like, 300-plus-pound snatches tonight, and that was the more impressive one.
Yeah. I mean, that's more than you weigh, Mike. Think about a man grabbing you and throwing you above his head.
I don't want to think about that. I just got queasy.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Of course, I also got queasy looking at that other 340-pound snatch.
Yeah. That was more than 340 pounds.
Yeah, that was like a 500-pound snatch.
Yeah, I'm excited for the CrossFit season. I'm excited to get back into CrossFit. I've had some difficulties, monetary, distance-nary, because my CrossFit box is an hour and a half away.
Really? There's not one closer?
No, there's a sign for CrossFit in Dixon, there's nothing there.
What?
Yeah.
They left?
I don't know. I guess so.
That's sad.
Yeah, right before you turn off of
nobody in
that one road there.
Yeah, because nobody in Dixon does CrossFit.
No, I've seen the people in Dixon.
We
nobody.
No, we eat deep-fried mayonnaise balls.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they are delicious!
Yeah, I've not seen... Getting way off track here. Working overnight at my job, I'm astounded by the lack of hot women that come in at 3 in the morning.
You know, I had to stop at your job on the way home today.
Yeah.
And it never fucking ceases to amaze me every time I'm in that store or any one of its many, many global locations. I almost always can guarantee two things. One, I'm going to see somebody in cold weather wearing sandals or flip-flops. And two, I'm going to see a woman in pajamas.
I saw a picture on Facebook earlier. It was a public service announcement for Walmart saying in this extreme cold weather, you might want to consider wearing two pairs of PJs to the store. Like, yeah, that's...
Ain't that the goddamn truth? Yeah. I mean, I swear to God, people are, like, leaving their houses like, aren't you going to get dressed? Why? We're just going to Walmart.
Yeah. So, CrossFit Games, super excited. It was kind of amazing to see Rich Froning's last individual competition and a big victory. Big 20 pound advantage on the snatch.
I mean, you would not have.
I think it was 324 to 342.
I know, and honestly, the way he did that, you would not. I mean, just you would think those weights weighed a hell of a lot less. Just the way he did that. I mean, he did it like it was fucking like nothing.
Yeah, I think my max may have been like a 140 snatch. So, you know, a hefty teenage girl. But, I mean, yeah. You know, 140, you know, that's like...
People are going to think you're calling hefty teenage girls 140 snatches.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. And that was tough. Like, I pulled something on that 140 snatch.
I'll bet you did, giggity yeah. giggity.
I can't even imagine 342 pounds.
I don't have to imagine. I saw it earlier.
Yeah. I mean,
we're still talking about the weight. Yeah,
I can't imagine picking up that weight.
Everything in CrossFit sounds so dirty.
Yeah. there's a funny joke about some CrossFit girls. They're like, so Rich Froning came to the gym today. Oh, yeah? Did you let him, check out your dirty snatch?
Oh, my God. See,
did he help you clean your snatch?
Yeah, that's the thing. I swear to God, they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
They're deliberately doing that shit. That's how they get people into those gyms. Everything's like snatches and dirty.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dirty snatches. So yeah, CrossFit Games, check it out.
Clean your snatch. If you're in the open,
leave a comment and tell me what you did.
Absolutely. And I'm inviting everybody from the CrossFit Games onto the show.
Yeah, I meant to look it up. They're doing some like modified, and they're changing the rules a bit this year so everyone can compete.
Really?
And there's one guy that was like
500 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. He started like 500 pounds doing CrossFit, and now he's down to like, you know, he's lost like 100 something pounds.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like promoting his progress of the open. Like he has a Facebook fan page. I gotta find it. I'll link to it. I want to follow myself.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you, Jared, eat my sandwich.
Yeah.
Giggity, giggity.
He's okay. So yeah, let's wrap it up. I'm tired, dude. My brain's...
I can tell. You keep on yawning and falling asleep. You're already in your sleeping bag. Are you driving home tonight?
This morning. I'm going to take a nap and then...
Yeah, you do that. You need a nap.
Get up at like 3-ish.
I want you driving on these icy roads when you're all...
Oh, these roads are fine.
No, there's still spots you can't see in the dark. But now it is time for my celebrity invite of the week, and I'm inviting Rich Froning onto the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm so impressed by his snatch.
Yes.
I would like to see his snatch in person. So, Rich Froning, you have an open door, open-ended invite onto the show at any point in the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, just so you can sit down and talk with me and the guy that you once mean mugged for trying to buy a shirt while you were teaching a class.
Yeah.
And speaking of buying t-shirts and other things, if you want to sell your stuff on a place that frickin' matters that will hopefully one day have Rich Froning on it, drop a line over to james@survivalpunk.com. He can work out great deals. I mean, if you want to join the likes of the good people at JM Bullion, Survival, Camping Survival, Mai Tai Exotic, Asian Coffee, and Well Food Co., james@survivalpunk.com. He can work out some great deals for you, and it doesn't always have to be cash. It can be bitcoins. It can be barter. It can be meat. It can be bullets. It can be precious. You know, someday somebody's going to fucking back a truck up to your house and just dump a bunch of dead hookers on there and be like, advertise for me. For my dead hooker disposal business. Keep in mind, it has to be related to the theme of the show.
Yes.
And we're not advertising for any more precious metal or coffee people, so. Anybody?
Oh, and we will absolutely refuse all government advertisement.
Yeah, yeah, no political parties will be advertised on the show unless you actually want your ad to include the words eat a bowl of and dicks.
Yes.
Healthcare.gov, where you can eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah, yeah, I will fucking say that every damn time. I'm not even joking. So, yeah, hell, you know, you want to pay us to tell you to eat a bowl of dicks? That is fine. Yes. And for all those people out there who want to join together and become part of something greater than themselves so they, too, can tell the government to eat a bowl of dicks, find one of those little links on SurvivalPunk.com where you can join up with the Survival Punk Army, because the Survival Punk Army wants you!
Yes. You help support my evil empire of making a new internet that doesn't suck and doesn't have the government control in it, and everything else I want to do to conquer the universe.
And plus, if the apocalypse happens, if the shit hits the fan, and a good portion of the world's population is gone, and you need rescuing, we will show up in our massive Hummers and come pick you up.
Yes, and our assault white rifles. Mike will have a Mosin-Nagant.
I don't know what that is.
And on that bombshell...
Oh God, this is not Top Gear, damn it! But it has been a really good show, even if it's not Top Gear.
Yes.
Yeah, despite the fact that you were yawning every 30 fucking seconds.
Oh, man.
All right, so for the Survival Punk Podcast, you guys, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James the Sick Survival Punk. James the Survival Punk!
And remember...
Vernetsky.
If you've got a massive 340-something pound snatch, I really hope you're a weightlifter.
DIY to take naps.
Use guys.